Hi, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of The Truth About the Market. I'm your host, Jason Zilberbrand. I'm the president of VREF. I'm a longtime aviation appraiser and someone who has spent over three decades deep inside this industry. I've worked with everybody from individual owners to Fortune 50 operators. I've testified as an expert witness in major litigation, and I've seen more cycles than I can count. But this podcast is new. This podcast is going to be about cutting through the BS. There's going to be no fluff, no marketing spin. There's no sponsors. We're just going to cut to the straight, unfiltered truth about aviation, aircraft values, and the industry trends that actually matter. And today we're going to tackle three big topics: the summer slowdown, the impact of tariffs and the supply chain, and what the back half of 2025 might actually look like, since things as of right now are not looking too good. So let's just jump right into it. I want to start with what everybody is seeing, but not everybody wants to admit, and that is that the pre-owned aircraft market is softening and softening quickly. Inventories are rising across the board. The days on market or how long it takes for an aircraft to resell is increasing. A lot of categories that normally are insulated from this type of market reaction or knee-jerk reaction are no longer a safe harbor. We're seeing medium jets, light jets, turboprops, old aircraft, new aircraft, you name it, and the prices are coming down. And it makes sense. A lot of people are sitting on the sidelines waiting for some direction. Unfortunately, a lot of what's going on in the geopolitical arena right now is not helping the matter. Now we have two full-blown wars escalating, it seems, daily, and it's only a matter of time now before I think the U.S. will be pulled into one of them. Unfortunately, I don't think any of this is really good for aviation in terms of stimulating the resale market, but, you know, there's a lot more that's going on than just geopolitical issues and interest rates, or even the health of the stock market. And I really think that, you know, all of these things individually are great, and they're certainly meters to see how healthy things are. But the truth is, none of them are going to predict what's really going on. And I think you have to look at the bigger picture. And right now, the bigger picture is telling me, at least from my perspective, based on the inflow of data, reported sales, requests for financing, and then, unfortunately, we're starting to see defaults and some other things start to escalate as well. But what we're really saying is that things are slowing down, and it's not your typical summer slowdown. For those that are new to the industry, or if you haven't been around for very long and this is the first time you're buying or selling an aircraft, summers in aviation typically are slower. And it makes sense if you think about it. A lot of folks take summer months to vacation and travel and use their aircraft for those purposes. Kids are off from school. The summer months provide nice weather, a lot less limitations from equipment standpoints, and it's the summer of things like EAA and sun and fun, and certainly the GA side of things. There's a lot of fly-in type of events, and I think people buy their aircraft in the spring to operate in the summer. Likewise, I think a lot of inventory dealers, they take advantage of winter months to get aircraft prepped for the spring purchase cycle. And so the summers are historically slow for the reasons that I mentioned, but it's even worse on the business jet side. The business jet side, the summers have been so slow. When we were, or at least when I owned and operated a full-time brokerage house, we didn't even work on Fridays. That's how slow it was in the summertime. And I don't think you'll find very many brokers sitting around at 2:30 on a Friday afternoon waiting for the phone to ring during the summer. This summer's a little bit different. We have a lot going on. And I want to really start to unpack it so that both buyers and sellers can position themselves to take advantage of things in a market that might not be the easiest to mitigate. You have to remember that the typical cycle for aircraft ownership is 3 to 5 years. And so what we're seeing right now is a lot of aircraft that were purchased during that post-COVID run on aircraft are now coming to the market. And unfortunately, most of those owners overpaid. And if I'm talking to you, I am sorry, but yes, you overpaid. You paid too much for your airplane. A lot of these aircraft were on the market for a fraction of what people paid for them between when COVID hit and the end of 2023. So the correction that you're seeing is bringing things back down to where they were pre-COVID. And since the demand is certainly back down to where we were pre-COVID, it only makes sense that the prices will start to drop as well. Now, there are aircraft that have done incredibly well and historically will continue to do incredibly well. And if you own a trainer aircraft, then I'm talking to you, you're in pretty good shape right now. 172s, DA-20s, doesn't really matter. The trainer market simply does not have enough equipment to satisfy the demand. So those aircraft are always going to do very well. The 182 market is doing very well. But, you know, you have to keep things in mind, too, that there's a natural built-in ceiling to aircraft values. And so once an aircraft gets priced too high, it starts competing with an aircraft that's in a category above and beyond its own. And when that happens, that's when you start to see pricing start to react. And because buyers aren't going to buy. And so you have a lot of aircraft right now. If you look at the market, if you go to trade a plane, if you go to controller, you're going to see a lot of stuff that's been sitting around. You're going to see a lot of stuff that you're going to go, wait a minute, these numbers are way higher than what's in VREF. Well, and I get these calls every day. I probably get 2 to 3 dozen calls like this a week. The numbers on aircraft and trade a plane or controller are higher than what's in VREF. And my response is always the same, and it's because asking prices are just that. It's an asking price. And I'm going to talk about this later, but when you really sit down and think about when you own something and how do you remain unbiased in judging its value, that's really the crux to what we're talking about. Of course my car is better than yours. Of course my house is better than yours. And if I'm going to sell it, I'm going to ask a premium. Well, if everybody does that, now you have an artificially high-priced market and aircraft typically sit. Buyers are very smart. They can smell blood in the water. They know when the time is to pounce. Buyers, especially of aircraft or any sort of passion hobby, they get myopically focused on the task. They do a lot of research. They watch the market. And by the way, if you're not doing these things and you're buying an aircraft, then you really need to be. And it's that kind of research and nonstop research until you find what you're looking for that's going to really protect your butt. And that's what we're talking about, is covering your butt. You don't want to pay too much for an aircraft. I'm not telling you to beat someone up to the point where they don't want to do business with you, but I do think most transactions have a sweet spot for negotiating. If you really want something and the seller's really motivated to sell, usually both parties are going to come to an agreement relatively quick. And if those things don't happen and that doesn't start to align, my advice is to walk. So getting back to what we were talking about, the disconnect. Buyers are smarter. Lenders, especially, they're a lot tougher today than they were 5 years ago. The comps are not only spread further apart, but they're getting really hard to decipher. These aircraft now, when I get them, people talk about comps. Most of these comps don't even have any relation to one another. And let's talk about a market like a 182, where you could have 15 1976 182s and they're priced $200,000 apart. And that's because a lot of these aircraft have gone through major restoration, major modernization, and it gets really hard to take a comp and compare it to the subject aircraft. And so appraising airplanes, and we're going to do this in another day, but that's not the topic of today. So today what I want to talk about is buying and selling, right? So you have to keep in mind that the sales are happening, the negotiated harder, the realism's coming back into the market. And so what does that really mean for valuations? It means you got to adjust your expectations. Depreciation is back. Residual value risk is very real. If you're a bank or a lessor, This matters. If you're an owner, I think it matters even more. You don't want to buy an aircraft that's going to depreciate. So you have to make sure that what I like to do is, you know, or tell people anyways, it's a popularity contest. And so one of the ways you can hedge your bets is by purchasing an aircraft that's very popular. You're going to have a lot of STC support. There's going to be a lot of maintenance facilities that can handle the working on the aircraft. And you're going to have the largest swath of possible buyers when it comes time to sell it. And believe me, it will, that day will happen. There will be a day when you want to sell your airplane. And so why do you want to buy something that either has limited interest or has limited resources? So what I want to do now is shift and talk about how the impacts and the decisions and how to buy and how to sell and what's at stake for both. That's what, you know, we need to get into. And I'm going to give you some insights on how to be a better buyer and how to be a better seller. And let me just start off by saying selling an aircraft sounds really easy. And I'm going to tell you why it's not. It's not that anybody isn't capable of selling an airplane. You are. The problem you have is that you have to field a lot of calls, and you actually have to be nice to the people that are making those calls to you. And that sounds really easy. But part of the reason why I tell people to hire a broker is because you're paying them to field these calls. You're telling, you know, you're hiring them to handle the same questions over and over again. It gets irritating. People like to beat you up. They have no intention of buying. And if you've never sold an aircraft before, it gets really hard for you to have that radar where you can recognize when somebody's wasting your time versus when they're genuine and they're really interested in buying the aircraft. And there's just a lot of questions that a real buyer should ask. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I always tell people, hire a broker. You know, and this gets back to a little bit of what we were talking about earlier and how to value your aircraft. And if you're too close to it or you own it, being unbiased is incredibly difficult. And it's even more difficult when you're trying to sell your own airplane. It's not eBay. You're not going to just post it and somebody's going to make you an offer within a couple $100 of what you're asking. And you're going to say, okay, that sounds like a fair deal. They're going to probably put you through the ringer. They're going to want documentation. They're going to review logbooks. They're going to want to see the airplane, kick the tires. They might want to go on a demo flight. You have to know how to mitigate all these things. You have to know when to let somebody move an airplane and what's at risk if you do, and where to allow them to take it for a pre-buy and what to allow for a pre-buy. And, you know, if we flip it, and now I'm talking to the buyers out there, you have to know a lot about the market that you're jumping into so that you know what aircraft to stay away from. And it sounds really easy based on reading an ad, but it's not. You'll be surprised if you watch a market, especially one that's a little bit tighter. Aircraft that have issues, they'll sit on the market forever. They won't go away. You'll start to see aircraft come and go on the market, the same aircraft, meaning people are walking away from it. And that should be your big red flag. You might not want to deal with an individual seller. It might be easier to deal with a broker or a dealer. And there's a lot of dealers out there that I think what they bring to the table is not necessarily that obvious for people to recognize. So one of the things that you need to realize is that you have a trade-in, and so sometimes a dealer will be able to absorb that. And it won't be your airplane, but it'll be the buyer. Right, so you list your aircraft with a dealer who has the ability to purchase your airplane or has the ability to absorb a trade-in from another purchaser, and they can sometimes make deals happen when other people can't, especially in markets where, like today, things might be a little tight and a little harder to come by buyers that are positioned to cut a deal. I'm not saying brokers can't do it. I'm not saying you can't do it as an individual. I'm saying it's harder. Brokers that specialize in markets will bring a lot to the table. They are going to give you an insight on things that you will never have thought about, and they're going to have a list of people they can go to that might be willing and ready and able to buy the plane. And today, being ready and able is not necessarily want or desire. It's cash. Because let me tell you, the banks, if they're lending, the term sheets are not what they used to be. Your loan to value is a lot different. Your interest rates obviously are a lot higher. And I think a lot of what's going on necessarily behind the scenes after the honeymoon period wears off and after you've owned your aircraft for 6 or 7 months and you've flown everywhere you want to fly and now it's just another asset to maintain, the truth is it's expensive. And it's a lot more expensive today than it was 5 years ago. And it's going to be a lot more expensive going forward because here's the kicker. The supply chain shock and the tariffs, all this stuff that we've been talking about since COVID, it's not going away. And I think I want to shift now and I want to talk about really something that's been flying under the radar, and that is tariffs. I mean, it's kind of bizarre that we're just not getting a break. And I really, truly mean that. Our industry, it just doesn't seem to matter. Every decade, we face these crazy challenges. And I mean, I can go back to the 90s when we were growing leaps and bounds and every dot-com internet company was buying a business jet and then boom, it all vanished in 24 hours with the big bust in 99. You know, and then we had a couple years before 9/11. And so on and so forth, right? Because the Great Recession of 2008 really reset everything. And we lost in a complete decade in our industry of R&D. And a lot of people say we never got it back. And so, you know, I think it's time that we kind of say, all right, we've got problems. Obviously, they've been around for a long time. And they're probably going to be around for a long time going forward. And I'm really talking about, you know, parts being imported from China and parts being imported from Europe. And there's things already being felt and it's already real. There's already longer wait times on key avionic components and engine components. And I'm not just talking about commercial. I'm talking about all sorts of issues. You know, if you're a Pratt powered aircraft owner, you're probably experiencing lack of loaner engines and all sorts of issues and getting things repaired timely, and that's if you're on programs. The cost hikes and the escalation of all of these supply chain issues, they're being passed along to the MROs, they're being passed along to you, the owner, and the supply chain bottlenecks, they're going on and on and on. I mean, it's creating AOG events in some cases. So if you're not already feeling it, I think you will. Certainly based on our last results from a survey we sent out, the number one concern from aircraft owners is escalating maintenance costs and repair costs, and it doesn't seem to be capped. You know, the good old days of knowing what an overhaul was going to run you, you can throw that out the window. More importantly, it's getting harder and harder to schedule things. So even if you're on top of it and you know that it's coming due, it might be really difficult to find a shop that's got the room to get your aircraft in and get you out. I had a client whose aircraft was grounded 7 weeks waiting for a simple part that normally would have shipped in 3 days. I mean, you know, and you're talking about lost charter revenue, you're talking about missed travel, you're talking about paying for an airplane now that's sitting on the ground and can't be operated. So I think this is really where proactive owners, if you make moves quickly, right, and you are scheduling things out in advance and you have a really good network and things are local, I think you're going to overcome a lot of these things, but unfortunately, I just think that there's going to be a lot of, you know, because Murphy's Law plays a big role in aviation, right? So parts break Christmas Eve, and I think it's going to be those types of situations where there's going to be sticker shock. There's going to be critical failure of components that are going to really cause dispatch reliability issues, and I think we're going to wind up, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to really figure out a way through this. And whether or not that's using different vendors, I don't know. But I can tell you all of this isn't going away. And so bottom line, I think we got to stop using COVID as an excuse. And I think the manufacturers have to come up with a solution and really give some insight to the market as to how aircraft owners can hedge against these crazy inflationary issues that eventually are going to force people not to buy planes, especially old ones. I know we've been talking primarily about newer aircraft, but I can tell you if you own an older business jet right now, and you have repair issues, I personally would not want to be anywhere near that situation. So I want to flip the switch now and talk a little bit about what I think is going to happen in Q3 and Q4. I am going to make some forecasts. I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen, and then we're going to wrap it up. But I think the summer is going to be basically a little bit of a preview of the fall. And what I mean by that is I think there's going to be a lot of realigned thoughts by September and October, after the kids go back to school and after everybody realizes only a few months left to the year. If the Trump administration is unsuccessful, and I have no reason to believe that that this isn't going to be the next battle, but the Fed versus Trump, who's going to win? Are we going to see some relief to interest rates? I really do believe that the market, at least the 300,000 to $10 million market, whether it's a high-performance piston or a single-engine turboprop or even a business jet, I think it really hinges on the health of the finance market. And I think that demand has a lot to do with interest rates. So right now we have a lot of equipment sitting, and I think that there's buyers who have pent-up demand and want to buy aircraft. And I think all it's going to take is a shift in interest rates. At least that will stimulate things. Bonus depreciation, sure. I mean, everybody likes to talk about it like it's some big magic wand, but it never really does a whole lot, in my opinion, to stimulate anything, especially the pre-owned market. But I think if you want to stimulate the pre-owned market, you have to see a continued unraveling of commercial aircraft or at least airlines and airports and ATC issues, and I don't think that that's going to fix itself overnight. You know, I talked a lot about this in my newsletter about how I believe this administration's finally going to fix air traffic control and put the money into the infrastructure so that all of us are safer going forward. But let's be honest, there is no better competitor to the business jet and general aviation market than commercial airlines, and they're just god-awful service. So as long as they're around, and as long as they continue to truly irritate people, I think those that have the means will continue to be pushed into general aviation and business aviation. And as you can see, the charter market is still doing very well. It's been very resilient. People are still traveling. And the fractionals have been doing very well, especially NetJets and some of the other larger ones. And so I think that those are really good indicators that this market's not going off a cliff. It's just at a time where we're at a very big moment of correction. You know, if you bought an airplane for inventory, despite what we have been saying, you know, I'm sorry. I don't think it was the right time to do that. But at the end of the day, I think that buyers and sellers are very smart. They're able to sense things before the media tells them to. And so what that means is that I think we're going to see a pretty active fourth quarter. I do think Trump is going to be successful in getting interest rates to drop, assuming that the Fed wants to play ball, and obviously all of these things are way beyond my pay grade. But if we don't see a total outbreak with the United States getting involved in Israel, and if we see some relief in Russia and the Ukraine, there might be some hope at the end of the year that we can turn the corner and put some of this behind us. But for right now, I think you're going to see more aircraft come to market. I think you're going to see a continuing and tightening of financing. I think you're going to see a continued, unfortunately, deterioration in credit. And I think that that's going to also increase possible exposure from a financing perspective. And I don't think any of this is going to go away for the next few months. But the flip side is clean aircraft, aircraft that are already in the United States that are well represented, they are selling. It's just taking a lot longer to do so. So basically, you know, the market's at a point where it's shifting. We're seeing a correction. Tariffs, inflation, they're squeezing aircraft owners, and the cost of ownership's going through the roof. So the only way to really protect yourself as a buyer or a seller, or even as an advisor, or a consultant, or a broker, or a dealer, is to stay sharp. You got to stay on top of the market. You have to plan out your inspections. You have to plan out your maintenance way in advance. Don't wait to update your values and deal with your aircraft from an insurance perspective until the last minute, because I'm seeing craziness there. High escalation in terms of premiums. A lot of questioning what aircraft are worth. So don't wait till the last second. And more importantly, you know, if you need help, that's what we're here for. That's what VREF does. We provide accurate, defensible, data-backed valuations and appraisals. We work with every lender, every insurance company. I can't think of an aircraft broker or dealer that doesn't subscribe to our service. And we're here to help aircraft owners, and we're here to help aircraft buyers and sellers. And if you ever need anything, you can reach me direct. You can email me at jason@vref.com. You can go to our website at vref.com. And I am going to start doing these shows on a regular, reoccurring basis. So the next time we're going to do a deep dive into an aircraft buyer's checklist for 2025. And if you're thinking about pulling the trigger on a purchase this year, you're not going to want to miss it, because I'm going to go deep. And I just want to thank you all for listening. This was my very first podcast. I'm Jason Zilberbrand, and this was The Truth About the Market.